Jesus ascending into heaven, chapter 1, and the choosing of Matthias through Revelation to replace Judas, who betrayed the Lord and who hanged himself. And in chapter 2, we have what? Okay, the beginning of the church, Peter's sermon, first gospel sermon preached, the establishment of the church, where 3,000 souls were added, baptized, and continued in Jerusalem, worshiping God, learning more fully the apostles' doctrine and in spiritual fellowship with one another, carrying the temporal things as they had need. In chapter 3, what does Peter do? Okay. Chapter 3, Peter healed the lame man at the gate Beautiful. As they were entering in the temple, Peter preached the gospel to those who had gathered there to witness that event, preaching truth and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. In chapter 4, what do we have? Okay. As a result of Peter healing the lame man, Peter and John are arrested and are told to stop preaching. At that time, the Christians had grown to about 5,000. The priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees were upset because they were preaching the resurrection. Why would that upset the Sadducees? They did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the hereafter. So they were released with a warning to stop preaching. The church continued to grow, and those who had property sold that property and gave the proceeds for the distribution of those who had need. And who was one of the ones that's mentioned in the end of the chapter who sold the property he had and gave it all to the Barnabas? Okay. First introduction to Barnabas. Then in chapter 5, as a result of what Barnabas had did, we have two people who wanted that same name. And what happened in chapter 5? Okay. Ananias and Sapphira, who wanted the name of having given all, but they didn't want to give up all that they had. And, of course, at the end of the chapter, all the apostles are arrested, miraculously released by an angel, strengthened, called before the council, beaten, and again released with a warning to stop preaching the gospel, which they did not do. In chapter 6, an issue arose, and what was that issue? Okay, Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily administration, so the apostles asked that they choose 7 who were full of the Holy, full of the Spirit, and they chose 7 to oversee the work. The Spirit was imparted to them how? By laying on the apostles' hands. And Stephen, one of the 7, disputed with the Grecian Jews, and they made false accusations of blasphemy against him. So in chapter 8, as we continue that, Stephen is called before the council, preaches the gospel to them, convicts them of their sins. But unlike Acts chapter 2, where those who were convicted repented, they took their anger out on Stephen and stoned to death. One of those who helped, not actually participating in the stoning, but one who was there, one who was witness, one who gave his approval was who? Saul. Okay. And as we come to chapter 8, Saul began to head the persecution against the Christians, and as a result of that, the Christians were what? They were scattered abroad because it became so severe. Those in Jerusalem were scattered. Only the apostles remained in Jerusalem. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and converted the Samaritans. And in the end of chapter 8, we have the conversion of who? Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch of Ethiopia also believed and was baptized. In chapter 9, we have the conversion of who? Conversion of Saul himself of Tarsus as he was on the road to Damascus to punish the Christians there and persecute the Christians. The Lord appeared to him. As a result of that, he was baptized, converted, and himself became an apostle, which we, of course, are studying today. Chapter 10, the conversion of who? Conversion of Cornelius and his household, his friends, his family, the first Roman Gentile convert in Caesarea. In chapter 11, Peter is called into account in Jerusalem by the elders and the apostles because of his association with Gentiles, to which Peter replied that he could not refute the will of who? will of God, because it was God who had shown him the vision and led him the way to do this. Chapter 12, James is killed by Herod, and Peter is what? Peter's arrested. Herod intending to give him forth to the people, as he saw that when he killed James, it pleased the Jews. And into that chapter, after Peter is miraculously rescued by the angel, released from prison the night before he's to be brought forth, Herod goes down to Caesarea. The people proclaim him to be a god. And what happens? He said, "No, I'm not a god." No. He didn't refute them. And because of that, an angel of the Lord struck him and died a terrible death, eaten with worms. Okay, chapter 13 begins the what? First missionary journey. Okay. As Paul and Barnabas travel to Cyprus, then on to Asia, where John Mark turns back at Perga. The gospel is preached amid adversity, persecution at Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium. And then in chapter 14, the journey continues as Paul and Barnabas preach in Lystra and in Derbe, Paul being stoned at Lystra and left for dead. But he got up, and they return, of course, back through Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, not Antioch of Syria, and make their way back to Antioch, where they report on the work that had been accomplished. Then at the end of that chapter, there are those who come to Antioch preaching, teaching, preaching circumcision, that the Gentiles must be circumcised in order to be saved. Taking areas of the old law and trying to bind that on the Gentiles. So because of that, Paul and Barnabas says had no small disputation with them. I think he says in Galatians he did not give space, not for an hour. So they determined to go to Jerusalem, met with the elders and the apostles about that. And, of course, the answer was no, they did not have to be circumcised. They did not have to keep the law. But there were commandments that they were given. Talk about that in a few minutes. But. Okay. To introduce our lesson today, Paul and Barnabas, having returned from their first missionary journey, where they visited the island of Cyprus, converting who? Sergius Paulus, who was the chief deputy, of course, having withstood Elymas, who was struck blind. They came to Perga, Pamphylia, where John Mark turned back and left them, turning to Jerusalem, which caused a problem later on. They journeyed on to Antioch in Pisidia, where many of the Jews and the proselytes believed. Also, many of the Gentiles gladly heard the word of the gospel, and the unbelieving Jews were envious, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and by the devout women, the chief rulers of the city, and so they expelled them out of their coast. So Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet, which was symbolic of what?
Okay.
All right. Exactly, and they did just exactly what Jesus had said. They didn't want it, so we'll take it somewhere else. We shake the dust off our feet against you. And leaving there, of course, they came to Iconium. Also there, many of the Jews believed, and the city was divided. As they stayed there a while, and as they taught the people, part of the people were with the Jews, part of the people were with Paul and Barnabas, but there was a plan made there to stone them, so they fled into Lycaonia, again to the cities of Lystra and Derbe. And there at Lystra, Paul healed a man who had been lame from birth. Now, the Gentiles were worshipers of who? Idols, okay? And so they determined that Paul and Barnabas were gods, and they were going to worship them. And they barely restrained them from worshiping them as gods. But Jews from Antioch and Iconium came down to Lystra, stirred up the people, and stoned Paul and left him for dead. But as the disciples stood around, what happened? Paul got up. Yeah, he got up. And he went back into the city and spent the night. And the next day, he left and went down to Derbe. Then he returned through Lystra, through Iconium, through Antioch, strengthening the church, strengthening the disciples, and, of course, returning again to Antioch. And as he went through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, they ordained what? Ordained elders in every congregation. So there were men, no doubt through the work of the Spirit, who were qualified to do that. That was the plan of God, and they ordained elders as they passed back through. Then they returned through Pisidia, Pamphylia, preached the gospel in Perga, traveled back to the seaport of Attalia, and then turned to Antioch of Syria, where they reported on the work, and they had to work with the congregation in Antioch. Okay, so now, as they've been in Antioch for a while, we come to Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse 36, and reading through verse 41. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do." Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed sunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren of the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So after remaining in Antioch for a while, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go and let's visit again the cities where we went and preached the gospel and see how they're doing." Well, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul didn't want to take John Mark because John Mark turned back and didn't go with them the first time. Neither would give way. They both had their good reasons why Barnabas wanted to take John, why Paul didn't. So the contention became so sharp that they split up. Barnabas taking John Mark and going to Cyprus, which was the home of Barnabas, and Paul taking Silas, who had come up with Paul from Jerusalem after delivering the decree concerning the circumcision, and they went through Cilicia and Syria preaching the gospel. So Paul was concerned about the people who had been converted. Barnabas was determined to take John Mark with them. There's some observations about this conflict. You know, here were Paul and Barnabas, who had been associated for years in the work at Antioch, in the church, had journeyed together, converted many people. You know, even the best of men have conflicts with each other. Doesn't matter what you're doing or how you're trying, sometimes there are going to be disagreements. Well, just because they had those disagreements didn't mean that they had to handle them in the wrong way. They didn't allow it to hinder the work of the church. The work of the church went on. The work of the Lord went on. They didn't let it become a problem there. They didn't split the church over their conflict, as some have done in the past. They didn't quit. They didn't let it affect their faith in the Lord. They didn't become bitter against each other because they didn't have any malice. They didn't seek revenge against one another. Some lessons for us today. As we deal with each other, as we have conflicts together, how we as Christians are to deal with each other. They had a conflict. Neither would give place. So the best thing for them was to split and go different directions, didn't hinder the work that they were doing. Matter of fact, there was a beneficial result. Instead of now Barnabas and Paul going to the work, there are two teams of workers who went forth to teach the gospel. Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. Luke gives no record, or anyone else, any record of their work, their journeys, and what they did, although no doubt they had great success in what they did, but Luke's account rather follows the journeys of Paul and Silas as they go into Syria and Cilicia. So there was a beneficial result of what had happened and what had taken place. So it was a good thing. Even though conflicts are never pleasant, they handled it in the right way. And good Barnabas, you mean. And there, most of us at one time or another have made. And that shows that he grew in the faith and profitable for Paul later on in his ministry. On both sides. Anybody else? Very good points as we study and try to make application to the thing. Right way and a wrong way to do things. Okay. As we study the second missionary journey, as Paul and Silas leave and they go through the areas of Cilicia, Syria, strengthening the churches, confirming the churches. They went down through Phrygia and Galatia, delivering the decree that was arrived of in Jerusalem concerning circumcision, which should have settled that forever, but it didn't. Sometimes we would think that things are settled by Scripture and people want to buy with that sometimes. But as they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthened the churches, they came again to the Derbe and the Lystra. There was a young man there named at Derbe, at Lystra, named Timothy. Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. He had a good report from the Christians, not only at Lystra, but Iconium also. And Paul wanted him to go with them to the work. And he wanted him to be circumcised because the Jews in that area knew that his father was a Greek. Now, if we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Timothy's mother and grandmother were the influence in his life, who themselves believed and became Christians, Eunice and Lois, and taught Timothy. Timothy was a good man, and from this day forward was a good companion with Paul as he made his journeys and the work that he did the latter part of his life. Timothy, of course, we learned through his letter, Paul desired him to come and to be with him. So Paul had Timothy circumcised so as not to be a stumbling block to the Jews. There we go. I thought I had my slides out. Lystra and Derbe were located in Lycaonia. Some people would say that's southern Galatia, and when we talk about the churches of Galatia, that would be the churches we're talking about. Others would say that Paul, as he traveled through Galatia, established other congregations of the Lord's church, but that's not revealed in Scripture. So neither here nor there. It was in Lycaonia. Timothy, a constant companion of Paul, to which Paul wrote his two epistles, circumcised so as to be what? Not to be a stumbling block. Now, Galatians 2 and 3 says that when Paul went up to Jerusalem, he was not compelled to have Titus circumcised. Now, Titus was a Greek. Well, what's the difference there? Titus, he would not let them circumcise him. Now he wants to have Timothy circumcised. What's the difference? Okay? Exactly. And that's exactly right. And this was not a matter of a requirement of the law, as they were saying with Titus. Titus was to be circumcised because the Judaizing teacher was trying to force this on the Gentiles. So, but this was not a matter of a requirement of the law. You know, we can do a lot of things that are not wrong, but if we try to bind them as law, then they become wrong. It was an expedient because they were trying to teach the Jews as well as the Gentiles. Timothy's mother was a Jew, had taught Timothy, and prior to becoming a Christian, no doubt had lived by the law. But Timothy had never been circumcised because his father was a Gentile. Well, in order to remove an obstacle to Timothy's influence in preaching the gospel, Paul felt that it was wise and it was expedient for him to be circumcised in order to an obstacle. Not that it was any kind of law or requirement of the law, but simply because it was an expedient. The issue of circumcision had been settled, of trying to bind part of the old law on Christians in Jerusalem, but it continued to be a problem. So as they journeyed, Paul and Silas delivered this decree to the churches, And through their efforts, the churches in that area continued to grow and prosper, and souls were added to the church daily, almost word for word of Acts 2. So the church was still growing. There was still success being given as they preached the gospel. Comments so far? Okay, so they went through Phrygia and Galatia, strengthening the churches, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in the area of Asia. So as they journeyed through Syria and Cilicia and up through Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, they wanted to go into Asia. But the Holy Spirit, however, he let them know in a vision or whatever, forbid them to go into Asia to preach the gospel. Now, this Asia was where the congregations of Ephesus and Sardis and Smyrna, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Pergamum, and Thyatira were, that we read about in the first chapters of Revelation. Paul wanted to go there to preach the gospel, but for some reason the Spirit knew that that was not where he wanted to be. So, they also, as they journeyed, were forbidden to go into Bithynia, which they wanted to go to. So, as they passed by Mysia and they came to Troas. And at Troas, Paul had a vision. And a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and saying, "Come over and help us." So, as they considered the vision, they knew where the Lord wanted them to go. So, they decided that they would go into Macedonia, which was located in Europe, in the region north of Greece, Achaia, which is Greece. Macedonians, they would be leaving Asia and traveling over into Europe, into Macedonia, as the Lord directed them to do. So they left Troas, traveled up past Samothracia and on to Philippi, which was the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and it was also a Roman colony. So they came to the city of Philippi. So the area of Phrygia included Iconium and Antioch of Pisidia. They passed through the region of Galatia. They were forbidden to go into Asia Minor. They were also forbidden to go into Bithynia. They passed by Mysia and came to Troas. And at Troas, they were joined by Luke. Now, how do we know that exactly? They's and we's. This is the first of the we sections in which Luke joined them at Troas. Verse 7 says they. Verse 10 says, so Luke joined them at Troas. Don't know if he was already there. Don't know if he was working there and established a congregation. There's no way for us to know. We do know that there was a congregation there because in Acts 20, on the third journey, Paul stopped at Troas and stayed till the Sabbath, or the first day of the week, excuse me, and broke bread with them and preached to them till midnight, and Eutychus fell out the window, and Paul raised him from the dead. So we know that there was a congregation of the Lord's people at Troas later on. So Paul had seen the vision. They went into Macedonia. They traveled up to Philippi, stopped at the island of Samothracia, then to Neapolis and Philippi, the chief city, a Roman colony, which would have made that city Roman citizens. They would have been free. And as they went there, apparently there was not a synagogue, as we come to chapter 16, verse 13. There was a place in Philippi by the river where people would gather to pray. And so while Paul and his company was at Philippi, they went down to this place where by the river where women were gathered together to pray. And there was a woman there named Lydia. And she was from the city of Thyatira and was a seller of purple dye. And like Cornelius, she was a religious person who worshiped God. Her heart was opened by the gospel that was preached, and she listened to the words that were spoken. She believed, and was baptized along with her whole household. And after she was baptized, he convinced Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke to stay with her in her house, and they did. Now, this wasn't some casual invitation. He constrained them to stay with her, and she did. And, of course, because of their efforts, more people were saved. Paul knew where the fertile ground was. He knew where to go find the religious people, and so they sought out these people to preach the gospel. And Lydia's heart was such that she was receptive to the gospel message. You know, the gospel doesn't appeal to people whose heart's not receptive to it. Lydia, it says the Lord opened her heart. Not the fact that he did some miraculous thing on her where he opened up her heart and she believed, but her heart was opened by what? By the preaching of the word, by the preaching of the gospel. She was receptive to it. She believed it. She was baptized, and also her household was baptized. So she was from Asia Minor. She was industrious because she was a seller of purple, maybe have been a woman who was well off, as purple was very expensive and only the rich could afford it. She was a religious woman. She sought a place to worship God on the Sabbath. That's an example to us. When we're away from home and we're out of place to seek a place to worship with the saints, heard the word, the Lord opened her heart. She attended to the things that were spoken, and she did in baptism. Also, she was faithful to the Lord, faithful to the church, faithful in life, faithful in love of the brethren. And we see that in her actions, in the things that she did. She was grateful for the opportunity that she had to hear and to obey the gospel. He opened her house to Paul and his company, and learned for the souls of her household. After she learned the truth, no doubt she either took Paul and his company to them, or they were there with her and also believed, but they were taught and they were converted as well. Comments or anything? So, yes, very good point. And that shows the kind of person she was. That she was receptive to that. Look at what she did compared to the Great Commission. Paul and his companions preached to her. Her heart was open. She believed. She was baptized. And as we go further into chapter 16, I think it's about verse 40, we see that, maybe it's not verse 40, but we see that Luke stayed behind. So he was able to preach them to them more fully the Word of God. So we see, compared to the Great Commission, the things that people were doing in order to believe. Saved. Not some faith-only doctrine. Comments that you made, Brent, go right along with that and are very, very, very good. No miraculous working. There's no miraculous opening in the Spirit or God forcing someone to do something that they don't want. Exactly. And a lot of people believe that that would happen today, but it didn't happen then. Anything else? Thyatira was in Asia. It was Thyatira was here. And it may be that she had a residence. It may be that she had a residency. Right. And had right. Very, very possible. Possible, because there is a good bit of difference there. And you know, from Troas to Philippi was 2 days for them. I think later on, as Paul's traveling back, it's 5 days. So. You know, so that's very, very possible. Very good point. Yeah. I think you're right. Anything else? Got about a minute. I had something else I was going to get into, but I don't have time to do that. You're exactly right. Exactly. We teach our children, according to the age and their ability to understand the application to, some of the younger children can't understand those things, but basic principles of the gospel that determines for us what we believe, as we said before, are listed in Acts. And as we children, and as we study ourselves and teach other people, they understand those things. You know, to us, it's something that just comes natural because we've been taught it all our lives. But anything else? Appreciate your comments and your attention this morning.